up real high. And by the way, you should have been there yesterday. The Turner sisters were there. Them little old black girls, they sung. I love them. I love them. Oh, you never heard such singing in your life. It would echo down through there and up and down through there and reverberate down through there. I love it. Y'all look like you're moved in with your mother-in-law. It's not going to be that bad. Okay, open your Bible, please. Book of Ephesians. But before we do that, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we're going to go over to the book of Ephesians. Now, I want you to do this. Boy, you talk about some good instructions. If you wasn't here this morning for Sunday school, you should have been and heard Brother Rick. All right, 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 10. And I want you to look, if you would, in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter, what did I say, chapter 12. Let's read verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now look in verse 13. For by one Spirit, capitalized, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we have been bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now look in verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care, say it back, one for another. Now drop down if you don't mind. Well, let's read verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Look in verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, and then secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, and then helps, H-E-L-P-S, and governments, and then diversity of tongues. Now, flip over, and I want you to read with me, please, in the book of Ephesians. Now, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus in chapter 5, and I want you to look in verse 21. Chapter 5, verse 21. Now, keep in mind that we're members one of another. Now, I'm reading Ephesians, please, chapter 5, and I'm going to read, if you would, in verse 21. Ready? Submitting yourselves one to another in the what? The fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now look in verse 25. Husbands, plural, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now verse 26, that he might sanctify it, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now watch, for we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Did y'all get that? Shall he leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, that every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and let the wife see that she reverence her husband. Father, I love you from the depths of my heart. Thank you, dear Lord, for all the people that turned out, Lord, and I just stood. God bless these dear people, I pray. Would you set a guard at my lips? Don't let me say anything, do anything that, God, I'd be ashamed of when I stand before you. Help me, I pray. Bless every God-called preacher. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, knowing this now, that we are saved, washed in the blood. I hope you're saved and washed in the blood. All right, it says, by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. Now, if you take the 39 books of the Old Testament and go through them all you want to go through them, the church is never mentioned in the Old Testament. In fact, if you go through the Old Testament prophets, they looked down like this and they saw the crosses they saw the Lord Jesus dying, paying our sin debt, but they didn't see the church age. If you look back in your Bible in Ephesians 5, he says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. All right, Acts 20, verse 28, take heed therefore to yourselves to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church is not a Kiwanis Club. It's not a Rotary Club. It's not a Masonic Hall gathering. The church is an entity. It's alive. Amen. 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 Matthew 16, 18. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what I want to ask you this morning, do you love the church? Do you love the church? Do you love the church? All right. If the church is the body, if it's the building, and it's the bride, and it is. All right, we're members in particular, right? This building is just where we assemble ourselves. We're assemble ourselves to worship the God of glory. Amen. Every saved person ought to have a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Those five young men that came to me yesterday and wanted those signs to hang up, to hold up that sodomy is still an abomination in the sight of God. These young men stood, though, against all of that LGBT crowd, and if you get your paper, you'll see them standing there with their signs holding up. They're clean cut, standing there. Listen, we all can stand. Say amen. We all ought to be standing. But we're living in a time, what has caused this phenomenon that we're living in? It's as though the church has no power with God. I do believe that there's a reason for that. If you go back in your Bible and check it out, we're living in this time what's called the Laodicean church age in Revelation chapter 3. All right, it means the people's rights, the Laodicea. You have gay rights, black rights, white rights, feminine rights, children's rights, on and on and on. All right, we're living in this time. The church is going up. It's not going to go down. Thank God. Amen. But let's go back to Ephesians 5. I want you to write this down. What has caused this phenomenon? What is called this drain upon us? One, I call corrupt men. And brother, we have got corrupt men. What do you mean by that, Brother Sisson? They're preachers so called. They will not stand against anything. We was on the radio. And they asked me, what do I believe the reason why that preachers wouldn't stand? Look at me, look at my eyes. I said it's probably because they've got a job and don't have a calling. Let me say that again. I said it's probably because they got a job and don't have a calling, and they're terrified of losing their so-called salaries. Anything you pay, are y'all listening to me? If you have to, preaching is not a job, it's a calling. You shouldn't have to pay a preacher to preach a word of God. You do take care of your pastor, you better. All right, taking care of the man of God, that's totally different. I'm talking about anybody you have to pay to do a job, he's a hireling. Do this. Okay, these corrupt men. They won't preach against, they will not never mention the blood of Christ. They won't mention the virgin birth. They won't mention the Bible being God-breathed. Yesterday, I want you to listen to me, Porter. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. We're standing on the fountain. We did not do nothing like this. I told them I want you to represent the Lord Jesus. Say amen right there. I told them what to do, and I don't mind telling you that. Those people were the most vilest, vulgar people I've ever seen in my life. Most of them were young people. Hey, son, back on the back row, stand up for me, please. Either one of you boys, both of you stand up. All four of you stand up, hey, like that. Just about like that right there. Now I want you to turn around and look at them. That's who they're targeting. And listen, boys, I appreciate you with all my heart. But I'm seeing when we went around the mall time and time again, that's what was back there. I'd say 80% of them were youth. 80% of them. Wearing that rainbow colors. God help us, amen. But I'm talking about, thank you, boys, the corrupt men has caused this. Now, we're talking about in the churches, they've infiltrated, they go to the pulpit, they deny the virgin birth, they deny the authenticity of the Word of God. Corrupt men, say amen. And then secondly, they got what I call a changed message. How long has it been since you heard anybody preach on hell other than your preacher? You don't hear it preached on anymore. Is there a literal hell? Yes. And if you don't get saved, washed in the blood, you're going to go to hell.
Right.
You ought to jump up and thank God you're not going to hell. But I'm talking about you don't hear it even mentioned anymore. You don't even hear that word mentioned. Brother Junior, God, we've changed our message. In years gone by, it was not like it is now. They didn't make love on the church parking lot. They didn't throw liquor bottles at the building. And look here, they respected the house of God. Say amen. And they respected the men of God. People today don't respect us because, I'm telling you why, they've changed the message of God from a change. God changes you from inside to outside. Amen. Are y'all going to go to sleep on me if you all get in your lap? Corrupt men. Change message. Third thing right quick. Now, I want you to write it down. I'm not preaching yet. The third thing I want you to see is what's wrong with this phenomenal that we got. Curse music. We was talking last night. The things that we now hear on the radio when we was in the jungles of New Guinea are now on our radio. And they do it under the guise, hope, as Christian rock. You ought to have heard yesterday. Boy, that was an eye-opener. You guys ought to just been there yesterday and heard the music that those, not those young men, but I mean those people are listening to. You can't listen to music like that and it not corrupt you. Say amen to me. But we've changed our music. I like the old hymns, like psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I like the old song, boy, when you come together used to, what a friend we have in Jesus. Glory. No, it can take away my sin. Nothing but the blood. Fourth thing right quick, and that is condemned morals. These things are bringing about the phenomenon that we're now approaching. Number one, corrupt men, change message, corrupt what I call cursed music, and then condemned morals. Does the Bible preach against sodomy? Sure it does. And if somebody accused me of not preaching the whole counsel of God, I preach against whoredom, I preach against stealing, I preach against, amen, sister. If it's in this book, guess what? I'm going to preach it. But I'm talking about, we're living in a time that people say, we have got the morals of animals. Animals don't even do what we do. They don't walk off and leave their babies. Hey, did you know we've killed 61 million babies in America? And look here, don't bow your head, ain't time to go home yet. In 1973, when they legalized abortion, listen to this, every preacher that had any God in him at all would preach against abortion, that it was murder. How long has it been since you heard a message on abortion? The longer it's done, Miss Kathy, and the more people that do it, it becomes accepted. All right? Tell me something right quick while I've got y'all's attention. If they'll kill 61 million babies, how old are you, Junior? How old are you? You're a drain on our culture. That's how they feel about us. 65 and older. It's called euthanasia. Big word. I know you don't believe this, but if they'll kill 61 million babies and cut the head off of a baby and use every piece of the baby for collagen to make women's makeup, amen, sister, and take the pituitary glands and use it for God only knows what, they sell every baby part. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. So now then when we get euthanasia, and Junior, they ain't going to do it like you think. They're not going to cut your throat. They're not going to stand you up and shoot you. It's called the right to die with dignity. You're a draw on our society. You don't produce anything. They forgot how we paid in Social Security. They forgot how we paid in the retirement system. By the way, look here. I told them last, and I'll tell you, America was founded up on the precepts and oracles of God. Would y'all say amen? We were founded by God, and God has miraculously fed us, and God has favored this nation. Amen. But we are falling apart from within. All right, now I want you to watch. Are y'all ready? You say you love the church. Let's see. Go to Ephesians 5. Now, I want you to hurry. I want everybody to look now. Hurry. Brother Sisson, what do you mean? Boy, I'm so glad, thank God. I believe this is all that's within me. Yesterday, boy, you could just feel the Spirit of God. Are y'all listening to me? Do y'all know what I mean by that? I'm not talking about no junk. I'm not talking about something you have to work up. I'm talking about God breathing up on us. You could tell as much difference as daylight and dark from up there to down here. Well, the reason why I bring that up, if you look back in your Bible, Paul said, and listen to this, if Jesus purchased with the church his own blood, don't you think we ought to identify with that which he purchased with his own blood? So that made me stop and get to thinking. Look in verses 25 to everybody. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ done what? Say it. Look at his passion for the church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. We don't have a passion anymore. We've been so desensitized. We're losing Wednesday night services. We're losing Sunday night services. Now they're combining them all together for one great big service. The Sunday's still the Lord's day. Sunday is the Lord's day. Now watch this. His passion for the church. Secondly, I want you to write it on the fly of your Bible. Notice the purging in verse 26, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the what? Washing of the water by the word. Not interpretive dancing. Not by all this stuff that people today has incorporated into it. They'll do anything. Most churches are nothing but an entertainment system. It's a production service. They glorify themselves. And I'm telling you the God's honest truth, but the Bible says that God's going to purge the church. Amen. There's hope back here. I've known that girl, for her and Jesse, since they was little. Now they're married. But her marriage day was her most important day in that girl's life. She bathed herself and washed herself. What for? For her husband. All right, if you look in verse 26, look in your Bible, for the washing of the what? Water. Say it. By what? By the word. Don't you think that's what we ought to get back to doing? Let me show you this. Let me show you. Third thing, right quick, now I want to get this. I want you to look. The presentation, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, amen. I wish I'd have been here when Jesse would have seen Miss Hope for the first time. And that used to, it ain't like it is now. Used to, they hid the bride from the groom. Maybe y'all remember that. The bride never ever revealed herself until she come walking down the aisle. How's it? Had this one wedding. We all come out. We're standing right here like this. You know how we all stand. How's it supposed to be the best man? I'm standing here. They all come out. We got little places. We're standing there. And that organist started playing, "Here Comes the Bride. Would you please stand, face the rear?" Dear God, she come walking down through there in that white gown. Boy, in that long train. He was standing right here, the groom was. And he looked at her. His eyes got about that big. And he took off. And I said, "I got him." I said, no, it ain't time. Come back here, boy." Big tears dripping down the end of his chin. One day we're going to be presented to the bridegroom. Today his name is Jesus. Now I want you to watch. Now I got to show you this. Watch. Third thing. Notice his plans in verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having what? Any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that way it should be holy and without what? Blemish. Now, let's go hurt it. You say, "Brother Sisson, I love the church." The church is where the story is told. Oh, are y'all listening to me? Rick this morning, when he was going over, he was talking about how important, and I believe that. But have you ever just thought about it, though? He's talking about the Sunday school. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about, this is where I heard Jesus. This is how I heard him magnified and exalted and extolled. Thank God for the church, amen.
That's right.
Sure. How old was you, 19? Did you get saved in church? How many of you got saved in church? Would you slip your hand up? Did you know that used to, Merle, did you know that used to lost sinners would walk off the street and come in and get saved? How long has that been since you've seen anybody like that happen? Right. Boy, I'm telling you, you don't see hardly nothing like that happen anymore. Everywhere I go, people ask me these questions. Ask me these questions. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? We're going to be taken out of here. Amen, sister. Now I got to show it to you. Oh, brother, sister, I love my church. Well, wonderful. It's where the story's told. It's how we get boldness. Amen. It's where the Bible's preached. Glory. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. Now watch this. I got to show you. But it's also where the story's told. It's where that God takes the burdens off from us. The church is where the family gets together. The church is where the kitchen, where God puts the food on the table. Let me show you the second thing right quick. It's church's way. Did you ever think about it? This woman yesterday was just crying, just weeping. She had held up signs all day long. She said she had two children. And I was trying to encourage everybody, and big tears were dripping off the end of her chin. She said, Brother Sisson, what is going to become of my children? Tears just flooded down her face. Brother Sisson, what's going to become of our children? Women doing all these vulgar things. But have you ever thought about it? The church is where the story's told that he just loves sinners. He loves sinners. It's only by the grace of God. It's not up us going up there round and round and round. But what I'm saying is the church is where the story is told. There's an old song that says, tell me the story ever been told. I love the old story, the virgin birth, Christ saved sinners. Glory! You won't hear that in the average club you go into. The church is different. It's where the story is told over and over again. Woo! I love it. And it's sort of getting to where that story ain't even told a whole lot. The second thing right quick, not only where the story's told, but it's how sinners are treated. Have you ever thought about it? I told them up there yesterday, there's a void, there's a vacuum in their life, and they're trying to fill the void and vacuum with the things of this world. They can't never do it. Right. Say amen. Right. How many of y'all remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well? How many of y'all remember it says he must needs go through Samaria? Why did he have must needs go through Samaria? There's going to be one woman. Now hang on, now don't get a real good grip on your seat. He went and he told, step by step, he told this woman her condition. And the Bible says, Jesus said, go call your husband. She says, I have no husband. He said, thou hast well said, thou have no husband. She said, Jesus told her, you've had five and the one you have is not your husband. But she had never, ever in her life ever stood and seen another man like Jesus. He fulfilled those other sexual encounters had not fulfilled her. She had had five. Y'all, are y'all on Valium? She had five men that we know of, and she was living with one that wasn't her husband. So now that Jesus is standing right in front of her, and she says, good master, give me this water that I drink freely. Oh, thank you, Lord. If you read that chapter, she goes and tells the whole city what Jesus done for her.
Right, that's good.
I want you to see tonight, sodomy cannot fill that void. Liquor cannot fill the void. Are y'all listening to me? People need a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. Boy, you don't know, but the church is where the story's told over and over again. But it's also, listen to me, it's how we treat sinners. The best friend you'll ever have in your life is your preacher outside the Lord Jesus. Let me say that again. Hey, I'm more closer to my church family than I am a lot of my own family. Let's go back. It's where the story's told, but it's the way the sinner is treated. The ungodly, the unfit, the unjust. He loves sinners. You know, I told somebody and I love it. I absolutely love it. How many of y'all remember the thief on the cross? Would you raise your hand? Y'all remember when Jesus was dying? And he looked over and he says, this man hath done nothing amiss, the one thief, talking to the other thief. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me where? Paradise. So all right, if that's true, Jesus took the first trophy of grace was a blood-spattered thief. Y'all could get a little happy. The first trophy of the grace of God was a blood-spattered thief. Amen, sister. Have you ever thought about what the angel said? Who is that with Jesus? Jesus had been gone some 30-odd years. Don't y'all ever think? What did the seraphims do? What did the cherubims do? What did the angels do? They said, what is that? A blood-spattered thief, the first trophy of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how we ought to treat these sinners, old drunks and whores and thieves. Boys, you know what? I'm not for disruption. They can come in here and sit down and reverence the house of God, and I'll preach to them. Do this. But I'm telling you, they're going to shove that lifestyle down our throats. They're going to do everything they can to get your children. Somebody tell me something right quick. What is a 200-pound plus man sitting in women's clothing, high heels, the whole nine yards, a dress, false breasts, a wig, makeup, reading to a two-year-old child? What, Beth? What is his agenda? What's his purpose? To take the child. I want you to come tonight. I got something. I wish I could preach this. Well, third thing, let me show you right quick. It's also the way that we're trained. Did you know, in one sense of the word, we all like the word, we like the word servant, we like the word saints, but Paul said that we're soldiers in the army. This is where we're trained. And I appreciate what he said this morning. You need to take what you hear out of here. You come in here to worship the Lord. You go out there to serve the Lord. Are you listening to me? That's where we fail miserably. It's easy in here to shout and praise God. It's easy in here to say, hey, boy, I love you. But I'm talking about to walk up to an ungodly individual that hates a ground. Let me tell you what happened. A woman, of all things, a man gave her a tract. She chewed it up and spit it at him. That don't even touch y'all's heart. He said the same word will judge you, John 12, verse 48. This is where we've come. Now I'm going to ask you, you say I love the church. Now let me show you why. The third thing, now write this on the flyleaf of your Bible somewhere. It's where the soldier is trained to deny the flesh. And aren't we a sorry bunch? I think I told my wife, I don't know how in the name of heaven God even puts up with me, let alone, amen, sis. I don't know how God puts up with us. I don't know why. In fact, if you'll read your Bible, God got so fed up with Sodom and Gomorrah that he rained fire and brimstone down on them. And it says the ashes came up as a furnace. Do y'all realize that when that smoke was descending up, do y'all realize that was burning flesh? I don't think that gets hold of your heart, does it? Oh, Brother Sisson, I told them, and I mean this with every ounce and fiber that's within me. Used to, people had a deep respect for the house of God. A deep respect. Well, I got to thinking. We hear, and it goes right out the other ear. We don't chew on it like Brother Rick said this morning and meditate on it and put it into our lives. It's where the story is told. It's how the sinner is treated. I like that. It's also how the soldier is trained to deny the flesh. And we got principles and characters. That's what we are. Now say amen. We need some principles and character in our life. I'm talking about those of us that are saved. We're different people. Say amen. But don't you agree that we need principles and character? It's a shame when a 27-year-old can outdo a man 75 years old in principles and character. Honesty and decency. Well, I got to thinking. How many years did you say you was brought up in church?
I've been in church since I was 3 years old.
How many years did you say you've been real young in the Lord? Could I ask you something? Can I do this? All right. If we take our plates like this and we turn the plate upside down, you can have the best meal in the world set. But if you don't take the food, it's not going to help you.
Right.
Paul said, you cannot partake of the devil's table and the Lord's table. He puts the food on the table, but our problem is we turn the plate upside down. Brother Billy's an excellent preacher. Y'all have got a good church. And you know what I wanted to ask you this morning? Do you love it? Where would you be at if God had not raised up this church right here on the side of the road? Where would you be at right now if some man of God hadn't preached to you? Where would you be at if some Sunday school teacher that had God all over them? Look at me for a moment. Acts 1 verse 8, and you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The church has got endowed with the Spirit of God. Brother, we need the breath of God upon our lives. The pianist, the song leader, the Sunday school teachers, the preacher, everybody needs God to say, breathe upon me. Change my anemic life. I can tell my wife I love her. We've been married 56 years. I can tell her, honey, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Don't my action spell louder than my words? Right. Say amen. Amen. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, we could have a little heaven on earth. That's the way God intended it. Now watch this. What if you say, I really love the church? Well, old Porter, he's been hanging around here for a long time that I've been around here, banging on that piano. I like people that's not quitters. I tell you, I'm going to come back tonight and tomorrow night and the next night. You probably won't be here, but I'm coming. Did y'all ever hear of a man by the name of Rocky Marciano? Outside of me, Rocky Marciano. I used to love to watch him fight. He could take his opponent. They'd be bigger, outweigh him, arms longer, everything. Rocky Marciano would, his had fight. He'd cover his head like this, and they'd wear their arms out. They'd wear their arms out, these big old guys trying to hit and knock Rocky Marciano out. And I love it. After about three or four rounds, they get so tired, they're from trying to hit Marciano. They'd drop their guard, and he'd knock them, slap out of the ring. I love it. His opponents was a lot bigger than him, but he knew how to fight. What I want you to see, the devil is a defeated foe. All he can do is roar. He comes as a roaring lion. Did you know biblically? He says that God not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, but of power, but of a sound mind. Brother Sisson, I love my church. Well, where did you learn that at? Where did you learn the songs? You ought to heard us up there yesterday. I love it. We got to singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Woo! You ought to hear about 250 people singing that. This one little old boy blessed me to death. Ernie's little boy, Malachi. He got it to microphone. He's 4 years old. His daddy's taught him he wants to sing and sing all these parts. 4 years old. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Jesus is coming soon. I watched his little lip. He is saying every word. 4 years old. Where did he learn that at? Church. Listen to me this morning. Brother Sisson, you're here, and you may have come this morning just visiting. I want you to know from my heart, God loves you. His love, biblically, it says God extended his love to us, were not willing that any should perish. I don't care what you've done, how far you went into sin. We had a lady up there yesterday, and I said, lady, holding up a sign. Her lifestyle, her sexual behavior was that she was a lesbian. Did you get what I said? Was. And that God had saved her and changed her a lifestyle. God loves old sinners. You get saved, you'll love the house of God. Right. Now then, all we need to do, can I ask you something? How many matches does it take to start a fire? Tell me. Come on, tell me. Takes one match to start a big fire. And then that big fire will burn hundreds and hundreds and thousands of acres. We ought to say, Lord, strike a match. Strike a match. Amen. Amen, Sisson. Let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Brother Porter's going to come. His passion for the church, verse 25. The purging of it, verse 26. The presentations, verse 27. And then guess what? The plans in verse 27, we're going up. You are important. Where the story is told, it's where the sinner, how the sinner's treated. It's where the soldier is trained to deny the flesh. All right, to defend the faith and defeat the foes. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you in this building can say, Brother Sisson, I am totally prepared to leave this world when Jesus comes? Would you raise? Oh, look at our hands all over this building. Thank you. God bless your heart. Surely to goodness you ought to be thankful for that. That you could raise your hands. You say, Brother Sisson, I love my church. Why? Think about it. He loved the church so much that he died for it. Hey, boys, God bless your heart. Jesus loves you. You could be champions for Christ. Stand up and deny this world. Well, if you hear an answer.